The Ebola virus is severe and too often a fatal illness. With the emergence of clinical trial data, the World Health Organization has published its first therapeutic guidelines for the Ebola virus disease. What do these new guidelines recommend, and how will they impact how clinicians approach care? Welcome to Clinicians Roundtable on ReachMD. I'm your host, Mario Nasanovich, and here with us to share insights on the recent guidelines is Dr. Richard Kojan, a Congolese physician who created a portable biosecure emergency care unit called the Cube to allow for close monitoring of Ebola patients by medical staff in remote, low-resource areas. Dr. Kojan has dedicated his career to caring for the most vulnerable populations and is currently the co-chair of the Guideline Development Group of Experts, selected by WHO, and president of ALIMA, the Alliance for International Medical Action. Dr. Kojan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
To start us off, Dr. Kojan, what can you tell us about the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo?
So the Democratic Republic of Congo is only one country with more than 10 Ebola outbreak. Let's say 1 in 3 outbreak in Ebola. Since I can say now, 46 years ago, the last outbreak is running now in East DRC. So total 1 in 3 Ebola outbreak in DRC. The virus, Ebola virus, their natural context in DRC, with, as we know, big forest and the tropical context, the natural context for Ebola virus.
So now, as we know, the largest trial was conducted in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Can you give us some background on this actual trial?
Talking about the last trial, last study, clinical study in the Republic Democratic of Congo was a start for, at the end of the large outbreak from the West Africa. The big outbreak Ebola we never see, you know. So the idea is from there, you know, from this big, large outbreak, you know, which one, you know, from which one we lost more than 11,000 patients, you know. So the experts start, you know, discuss that we need to ameliorate care for the patient. Not only do we ameliorate the care for patient, but to find the solution, to find the solution about, you know, care, optimize care, but also, you know, to try to start to study, you know, vaccine study and the drug study. So the idea was from there. And when the big outbreak, when the big outbreak from the West Africa finished, so yeah, you know, and another one start in DRC, in East Congo, which one the area is a conflict zone and war zone, and from this area, you know, and too many challenge. And when the outbreak start, all experts, you know, we start to discuss with different experts, you know, scientists, and clinicians, you know, all experts. So we decide to come up with a large platform under leadership from the MOH from DRC. In the platform we had, we receive, you know, too many partners, ALIMA and NIH, INRB, so those different partners came, you know, joined, you know, in the platform. The design of the trial was, you know, randomized study on drugs with 4 arms and different arms, you know. One of the arms was a comparator with drugs called ZMAP. And the 3 other drugs was a monoclonal antibody called MAB114 and the Regeneron. And the last one was remdesivir. So, yeah, it's a result from in a big collaboration, you know, from different partners, official partners from DRC, but also from US, NIH, and from different other partners as ALIM.
No, certainly it's impressive the number of organizations that led to this incredible collaboration, the rigor of the trial. But you've also created a portable biosecure emergency care unit called the Cube. And I was wondering if you can tell our audience a little bit about the monitoring that Cube allows you now to do.
Sure. To implement a study in an area like this one, you know, in the context with low resources, you know, that's a really very big challenge, you know, for the scientists, for different experts, you know, for the lab, for drugs company, that you have to come up with, you know, good standard of care. So it was also opportunity for us, you know, from Alima, you know, to implement the cube. The cube is a single room one, you know, for the patient, and to be able, you know, to provide intensive care, safe one for health workers, but also for the patient, you know. As we know, Ebola is a terrible disease, you know. The patient came with different, you know, trouble, you know, or metabolic trouble, you know. So the patient need, you know, really support with optimized care. So with the cube, it was possible, you know, to come up with the optimized care for our patient, you know. So, and in this area, for a study, we went with more than 20 cube and for all patients who were need intensive care and will need drugs. So for all participants for the study, so they were receiving their monitoring inside the cube. So that was possible. So the cube was one of the important tools, you know, to help us, you know, take care of our patient correctly, but also to be able to implement a study in an area with low resource, but also in area in conflict zone.
Which is just so impressive that you and this impressive collaboration were able to not only give care to patients in such an area, but able to evaluate them from a care standpoint, and then conduct the rigor of a clinical trial. So what were the results of the trial, and how did the findings from the clinical trial impact these newly developed guidelines through the World Health Organization?
So the monoclonal antibody was decreasing mortality for a patient who was admitted early in Ebola centers. So that was the preliminary result. The decision from the DSMB was to stop with the other drugs, you know, ZMAP and remdesivir. After that, the final result came up and showed that definitely the monoclonal antibody was showing efficacy, you know, to decrease mortality for the Ebola patient mainly for a patient who admitted early in the health centers, Ebola centers. So that was the recommendation from the DSMB. And after that, you know, all the group, the platform, PALM, and we wrote finally the result in the New England Journal. And what is the impact after that? So the impact is huge, you know, for health workers, for a patient, you know, because now it was clear for us and it become clear for us that, you know, we can take care of Ebola. We have drugs and now we have one of the main tools to care correctly the patient. That's very, very important. And the impact is huge for the patient and for health workers.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Clinicians Roundtable on ReachMD. I'm Mario Nasanovich, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Richard Kojan about the first guideline that has been published regarding the Ebola virus disease therapeutics. So, Dr. Kojan, now let's shift our attention from the trial and its results more to the guidelines. Can you give us an overview of what these guidelines recommend?
The recommendation from the guideline is, the first is a strong recommendation one that for the patient, confirm Ebola after lab analysis. We have to think that they must receive monoclonal antibody, which one called MAB and Regeneron. So it's important for those patients confirm Ebola cases to receive monoclonal antibody. This is a strong recommendation one from the guideline. And for all patients, wherever they are, adult, men and women, pregnant, they can receive monoclonal antibody to treat Ebola. But also for the newborn, so let's say because they are the newborn, they are really high risk contact from the mother. So this is also the strong recommendation for the newborn. This is the main recommendation from therapeutic new guideline from made by WHO.
How will these guidelines impact the way we care for our patients and the way we may address other diseases that they may have in the future?
The impact from this guideline, publishing this guideline, is huge because the approach from this guideline was, integrate advice from different experts, but also the data from not only trial, but different trial. The process was long. So WHO guideline is huge tools, for different MOH in a different country that can help different countries to, for their advocacy to get drugs, to buy drugs, to get drugs, for their population. I think the next step must be a huge advocacy for access on those different drugs. This guideline will help, all community of health worker how to treat correctly the Ebola patient. This is a change life, it changed completely our practice as health workers. Before this guideline was, as I was saying, it was really complicated for Ebola patient, but also for health workers, to take care safely patient. But now it's possible.
I want to thank you, Dr. Kojan, for all the work that you have done and for coming on our program here to share your insights on the emerging therapeutic guidelines for Ebola. And I also want to thank you on behalf of mankind for really providing not only the care for these vulnerable patient populations, but also thinking about the life-threatening impact on the healthcare workers. It was absolutely my pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Mario Nasanovich. To access this and other episodes in our series, please visit reachmd.com/clinicians roundtable, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.